Listen, guys, if you're hearing the sound of my voice, that lets you know that we are back with another blazing episode of the End Zone Club, where we have conversations designed to push us from walking in potential to fulfilling our purpose. And today, I got a young, dynamic, fiery, motivational speaker who's going to speak up. But before I get to him, I have to get my preliminaries out the way. Wherever you are listening to today's podcast from, I encourage you to like, share, subscribe, donate, whatever you feel like doing, but share it with a friend. Okay, now that I've got that out of the way, I am pleased to introduce the cream of the crop, the best of the best, a young man who God has gifted with many gifted, including helping you guys to walk in your potential. And today I have Mr. Joshua Washington in the studio with me. My man, speak up.
Thanks for having me, Anthony, man. Listen, I need to bring you on the road with me, man. That was excellent.
Hey, listen, I got to start you off real quickly with a rapid fire because I've been listening to some of your stuff. And, brother, when I say you have the gift of empowerment, talk about your platform a little bit. I want to start there before I go anywhere else. Talk about your platform.
I'll give you the quick rundown. That actually, people think because my name is Joshua, it was something that was named after me, but it's actually not. It's actually based on the story we find in the Bible, in the book of Joshua. And in that story, we see a people who went from a land of like slavery and poverty and lack to a new land where there was abundance. And I just believe we can have that same journey in our minds, going from where we used to be into where God wants us to be. And so that's why I started the Mentality of Success as an umbrella branch underneath the Joshua Mentality. And the Mentality of Success is really just geared to help people experience the life they were created to live. And it helps share my story as a young black man, going from the edge of darkness and not seeing life as something worth living to a life filled and fulfilled. And I just want to help others accomplish the same thing in their life and career. And so that's what led to the Mentality of Success.
You know, often when I hear motivational speakers talk, they lay out this beautiful blueprint that's just saying basically, hey, this is, I just make it happen. Let's kind of rewind that a little bit. I want to hear how you kind of started off and how you got from where you were to where you are now.
Wow, man, that's a long episode, but I'll try to condense it to some highlights. I grew up in one of the poorest cities in Florida. I don't know if you ever heard of it, Anthony, but it's called Immokalee, Florida. Have you ever heard of that?
Actually, I have. One of my buddies does a football camp down there.
There you go, and that's what our town is all known for. One of the most famous people from my town is Edrin James, and growing up there, that was really all I knew. You know, I thought life was just a microcosm of sports, and that my value was really tied to how much money I could make or how many girls I could chase. And so that's just I tell you that to give you a little bit of an insight into what my mentality was growing up. It wasn't aligned with what I was created for, and I didn't figure this out until I left and went to college, and I realized there were some major deficits in my life. And that's what birthed the Joshua Mentality. That's what birthed the Mentality of Success. It was going through all these hardships, you know, falling on my face, and having to figure out what it means to be a man, having to figure out what it means to be a son, what it means to be a friend, what it means to be a professional. And I really just took all of that and put it into a framework to help others make that progress. Because I went from, you know, being growing up in one of the poorest cities in Florida to now, you know, being able to live a life that many other, I'll put it that way. I'm able to live a life that many other would love to live. And I think that's all due to God's grace in that journey from past to present.
I don't want to get personal for a moment because, like, with my story, I grew up in the church as a musician. And there was kind of like a becoming for me where I had to accept the fact that I'm different. And being different means sometimes you're kind of standing out because you're not like everybody else. For you, how did you grow into your calling and accepting this fact that now you were called to be a leader amongst followers, which sometimes may come with sacrifices, sometimes may not? sometimes may come with you having to find your voice in ways that were different than the guys around you.
How did I grow into my calling? I really have to give credit to the network around me. I think there's some times where you grow into your calling, and then there's other times. And when you think about a caterpillar and how a caterpillar kind of goes into this cocoon, and then as when it comes out, that cocoon is actually what squeezes all of the excess out of that caterpillar that is now a butterfly. And that's how I kind of describe my journey and my coming into, you know, my calling, so to speak. If it were not for my network, the people around me who were not afraid to say, hey, sit down, son, you got this thing twisted. Like, I remember, I'll give you an example. There was a friend of mine who was a pastor at a church. And I remember to this day, I put it in the book, actually. I actually had the audacity to sit there and tell this man, like, how can you be married to one woman? Because that's what my mindset was growing up. And he was
right.
He was the one that sat me down and was like, no, you got this twisted. Marriage is actually a beautiful thing. And it's because of his influence that I now can be a father and a husband. And so I think going back to the question, my network kind of served as that. It served as that cocoon to surround me when I was foolish and wet behind the ears and lacked experience, but thinking I knew it all. They protected me, and then they helped to drain out the excess as I became to develop more and more. And I am so grateful for. I tell people network is the third greatest currency in life, and that's the reason why.
What I do want to speak on this real quickly, because hearing your story speaks to the idea that all of us are often only as strong as the communities around us. And it's good to hear that you were surrounded with good people. However, I got a question thrown at me last night from a young man that's 12. And I want to throw it at you as well, because I just want to hear your take. But he asked this question in this form. And he says that, okay, we were on this platform, a bunch of guys are speaking positivity, whatever, whatever, and we're talking about men who have positively impacted us. During your time, did you ever have anybody try to negatively impact you, and how did you handle that situation?
Well, absolutely, man, especially around the peers. I think that a lot of peer pressure and a lot of lies, I would say, that's the only term I can really think of, I had to really combat. Because there are people in your world who they don't mean any harm, but they're only giving you advice. They're only trying to quote unquote help you based on what they know and what they've been exposed to. So if you have a group of people and none of them have ever had fathers in their lives, then of course the conversations and the sense of truth and direction in that circle is going to be very different than a circle of young men who have grown up with fathers and good examples. So for me, because I really was surrounded around people who were just like me, there were a lot of times where I had to balance out, okay, this is what I'm hearing from my boys, but this is what to me seems to be truth. This is what they're saying. This is what that end result seems to be consistently. Here's what the end result seems to be for this other, you know, situation over here that seems to be more aligned with what I want. So to answer your question, yeah, definitely. There was a lot of, you know, that peer pressure and examples to go the wrong way. But what I found is every time I went that way, it hurt. So you only can touch that iron so many times before you're like, you know what? There's got to be a better way to do this.
And I almost got burned with the iron in my community. And this is one of my passions, one of my whys, for why I try to even relate with young people in the regards that I do. Because in my community, you basically had probably four options. You were going to play ball, you were going to sell drugs, or you were going to be a vice lord or a gangster disciple, or one of those umbrellas. But your options were limited. And a lot of the younger men around me were having babies as young as 13, 14. Dropping out of high school was basically a norm. There wasn't a whole bright outlook where we were, but thankfully I had a strong father in my life who impacted me, and knowing that, son, it doesn't matter what's around you, it's about what's in you. Absolutely. Speaking to this generation, I am encouraged when I hear a young man with a platform like the Joshua generation and the mentality and something you said has really stuck in my heart. And you were talking about success. And in talking about success, you said that success has been programmed into us, but failure is an option if we choose it. Can you blow our minds with that?
Well, yeah, man. I think my whole thing was growing up, success was, it's kind of this image of success that I think is what a lot of us believe success to be. And it's that success is about what you have versus who you are. And I really had to learn that success is like, just like the shirts you and I wear, you know how they have a made in whatever, wherever they made in on the tag. Like our lives are just like that shirt. And on that tag, it says made in success. And once you realize that you are the main course, you are the success. It's not about what you do. It's about you fully reaching the potential of success that your life was created for. And once I realized that, a light bulb went off because I begin to look at failure differently. And failure, I believe, when I speak of failure being an option, I mean seeing your life and your value as in a failed state. I don't mean like events where you may fail at this thing, you may fail at that thing. I mean, failure is an option. It is an option for you to see your life as insignificant. You have that option, but I encourage you to see your life the way it was intended to be seen, which is highly valuable, which is highly required for this earth. There's something that your life was meant for. There's something that the dreams in your heart were meant for, to serve those around you and that within you. And that's the message that I try to keep echoing in the minds of my generation and my own mind from day to day, is to remind us all that, man, yeah, failure is an option. You can see yourself that way. You can tell yourself that lie and follow that narrator. But I would encourage you to do the opposite and follow truth, which is that you were beautifully and wonderfully made. And that if you really were to even just study the human anatomy, you would see that you are handcrafted for a reason. And I believe that reason is success.
I want to take the time, first of all, to thank you for speaking into the lives of our young people the way you have, because a lot of us we're kind of reactive in that we react a lot of times to what's around us. But something that we're reacting to right now is this idea that we are in a new year, and people often make resolutions that they have a hard time keeping. So with that said, I want to segue into this next rapid fire question, because you also did a piece that I think ties into those that are listening with New Year resolutions, but you talk about five lies that limit success. Now, I don't know how much of this you know verbatim, but from what you can remember, can you dig into those five lies and break it down with my people?
Man, yeah, that was definitely rapid fire. So the five lies that limit success, which I encourage you to go back and watch that video. But one of the lies that I harp on the most is this lie that we don't have the resources. And I think that lie is cousin to I don't know. And the reason why those lies are dangerous is because they keep us paralyzed. We don't take action. I don't know in particularly is one lie that will cause us to grow anxiously, because we'll start to envision negative outcomes simply because we don't know. Now, there's things 5 years ago you didn't know that you know now. But the only reason you know them is because you got moving. You got active. You started exercising choice. You started exercising options. You failed a little bit along the way. And I think if we can get past, if you don't take anything into this new year, I would encourage you to take the commitment that if you don't know something, but you do know, accomplishing it will serve others and serve your life well, then get going on the journey. Don't submit to that lie that because I don't know means I'll never know. No, get going on the journey, because you will figure it out. Why? Because you were created to do so. There was a time in this world where cars didn't exist. There was a time in this world where certain things didn't exist. But what happened along the way is, as humans, we are equipped to figure it out. Whatever the need is, whatever the value is, we are innately designed to figure it out. So if there's something going on in your world and you don't know, but you do know it's valuable, and that it's something that's on your heart to accomplish and it'll help others, then go for it. Don't submit to that lie that because I don't know, I'll never know.
firm believer that life is choice driven. And that's me with a victorious mindset, that I wake up every morning feeling like whatever challenge, whatever blessing, whatever God places in my path, that my failure and success starts in the mind. A lot of our young people don't have that. So just based upon what you shared, it's reaffirmation for me that we can figure it out. But most importantly, young people that are hearing this, develop these traits. Now, Josh, I'm going to step away real quickly just from the rapid fire. I just wanted to keep you on your toes a little bit. But I do want to know, I noticed you talked about a book. I know you have the YouTube platform. Can you talk about some of the things you're doing and where we can find you at to support you a little better?
Oh, yeah, man. That's awesome. I appreciate you giving me that opportunity. Well, anywhere on social media at The Joshua Mentality, you can find me. Now, I will say I am working on being better at social media. I like the person-to-person contact, so I spend more time in the community. But if you would go to thementalityofsuccess.com, again, that's thementalityofsuccess.com. That is where you can not only connect, but you can get involved with some of the work we're doing. Right now, we're doing what I call an Activate Your Dream Challenge. And we're helping people take their God-given dreams and goals and start to activate them. Get them moving. And what we think is powerful is when you get people into a group and they all have a shared goal, it accelerates everyone that's involved. So we're allowing people an opportunity to come together in a group, bring whatever that goal is. Maybe you've been meaning to write a book the last 5 years. Maybe you've been meaning to go after, I don't know, you fill in the blank. Whatever that goal is, we're going to help you take the first steps and develop the mindset that it takes to not only accomplish the goal, but become the person that can continue the goal and leave a legacy. And so I think that's something that's very exciting that we're doing here in the new year. And I'd love for you to be a part of it. And again, that's the mentalityofsuccess.com, and it's the Activate Your Dreams Challenge.
I won't even let this moment pass without letting you know I would be honored to support your vision and to be a part of what you have going on. Also, I will say from the outside looking in, you were doing ministry really well. I wanted to compliment you as well because I think your graphics, your layout, your stuff is immaculate, man. And I noticed you have a team working with you in some regards. How did you get four brothers together to even do a show where you guys are bringing light, you're bringing comedy, humor, you're bringing good content? How did that develop?
Man, so now that's Black Caution. That was, I don't know what any other way to be. So I'm going to tell you exactly what that was. I looked out into our society, man, and I saw the wrong narrative being told, and especially being told to Black men. I think it was a dangerous narrative, and I wanted to use a platform to tell a different story. So I got these brothers together to discuss some topics that were relevant in our community and in our culture, but to give it more of a leader's perspective. Because a lot of the narratives that we see in our community are very much victim perspective. And it doesn't mean that, when I say victim, yes, there are a lot of things that happened to us as a community that we were victimized. But because you were victimized does not mean you must bear the label of a victim. And I think that's very limiting when we talk about, lies or lack. That's one of the biggest lies of lack. When you take on the wrong label in your life. So I just wanted to get these fellas together and show the world, hey, here are some young Black men. You're not going to see their names in the headlines, but they are in their communities doing great work. They're in their families doing great work. And some of them haven't made it quite yet, but they're making the journey, and they're committed to the journey. And I think that's very encouraging for other young Black men to see.
No, it definitely encouraged me because I've been living on this side 40 years, and I have lived a lot of places. I've been in a lot of crowds from Birmingham to Atlanta to Jersey, New York. I mean, I have traveled extensively, and certain stigmas about us do reside often in a lot of communities. So when I hear a man that says he hasn't made it, to me, you have, because you, first of all, you've broken the mold. Second, you've done the work. And third, you're now teaching others success that can be replicated. It's not like you're telling me, hey, I've got a $1 million plan for you for $10.99. If you buy my book, you're going to be a millionaire. that's not how this works. But you're telling, hey, if you follow these godly principles, you will have success in these areas of your life. And I, for one, appreciate that. But it sounds like this is really a passion for you. Did you see a lot of positive representation growing up?
Yeah, but the thing is, I grew up in poverty but didn't know it. You know, like when that's your environment, that's your norm.
Right.
You know, I tell my mama all the time. Actually, I was joking with her. I sent her a picture and I'm like, why did you allow me to wear these godforsaken glasses? She said, boy, we were on welfare and broke. I couldn't afford any other glasses. But I didn't know, because my parents made sure whatever needs we had were taken care of. And I don't know how they figured that out, especially my mom, but she did. So to that point, I did see a lot of it, but I didn't realize what I was seeing until I got out of that environment. And that's when it was like a shell shock to get outside of my little community and see the world and see that there was a lot more to it than you know, what I was seeing on the day-to-day. So, I did see it a lot. But I think also on the positive aspect, seeing that also helped to make me the person that I am, which is highly content, even if I don't have a lot. And that's something I cherish as well.
Honestly, that's one of the beauties of growth as well. There are areas of my life that because I saw things a certain way, it's an inferior model that I didn't realize was inferior until I started maybe being around men of higher value, men that value their wives, their homes, their family, their careers, their walk with God, their integrity. And then when you start seeing men that are not just men that pray when things happen, but they're given to prayer every morning, they're with prayer, they're teaching the prayer to their kids. It's like, man, that's something I want in my life. And I'm thankful to have had a dad that he came from the projects of Birmingham. My mom comes from Jamaica. That's poverty. However, they presented with us, it's not a matter of where you come from, but it's about where you're going. So with that said, my brother, I got one final question for you that typically I love for this podcast to end on a high note. And in order to do that, I often ask my guests, if man were to be successful and to finally create a time machine and we were to go send you back in time to talk to your younger self, what is one piece of information you have now you wish you knew when you were that age?
Man, you're good at this, Anthony. Man, I would explain to my younger self the three greatest currencies in life. That I would for sure explain. Because my younger self thought money was the greatest currency, but it's not. So I would definitely take my younger self through that lesson, and I think that would be a life-changing lesson.
Folks, you've heard it here first, but I do want to say, Joshua, the floor is open. If you have anything else you want to leave with the guests before we get out of here, the floor is yours. I'll give you a few minutes to say what you have to say. If not.
Well, no, I want to say thanks for having me on, Anthony, and thanks for all the great work that you're doing in all the different areas, man. One thing about the internet is it just allows us to reach so many more people, and I really love to see others who are, they take it up just by a sense of call. And you're one of those people, man. So thank you so much. I'm sure there's many lives that are being touched and impacted by this. And I can't honor and admire enough men like yourself who are doing this great work, man. So thank you so much, man, from my heart.
Indeed. And I just want to say, I thank you for jumping on. Though you and I have never met, just the connection that was afforded my opportunity of being introduced to your ministry and possibly having you on, I was floored because the day this spontaneously came together, I was actually praying. And I've been working in ministry for well over 20 years, and I'm always willing to try new things. I'm newer to podcasting, been doing this a little over a year, have been blessed to reach people like we have from the four corners of the earth. But I'm thinking, God, it's been hard for me to get special guests and people that are really, you know, doing what I'm doing. A lot of my friends want to support, but it's like, no, we don't really want to get in front of the camera. And as I'm praying, I get a notification and it's an unsuspected connection, kingdom. Somebody was listening to the podcast and said, I got somebody for you. And here we stand today. And I'm telling you, I have subscribed to your YouTube. I will be faithfully following. And I encourage my listeners to do the same. Let's support the work this man is doing. Actually, three guests ago, we have a former NFL player, Walt Harris, who's from the Fort Myers area, that does a camp in Immokalee, and he actually talked about that area a little bit. So it's just ironic that you come back from that same area just a few episodes later and know all about the area.
All the places. You can't make this stuff up. There's no way that's a coincidence. Immokalee, that is not a coincidence. Wow.
Not at all. And actually, there is a guy that is working on our website right now, and his name slips my mind, but he is also from Immokalee. So there's potentially something God is doing while he is strategically setting up that area, all these connections passing through.
I got this. I'm going to need you to find that name. We can do that offline, but I need to know. I know this is somebody I know, a brother, a cousin, someone.
More than likely, because you guys are the same age group as well.
So, hey, this is the End Zone Club. If you are hearing this podcast and you're enjoying today's conversation, I encourage you to like, share, rate, subscribe. Also, don't be afraid to hit the support button at the very top. By giving just a little bit of support, you help us to do what we do in the community and also to spread the word to the four corners of the world. And as always, until next time, be blessed, and this is another episode of the End Zone Club.